The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Good morning, Shasta County. That was Billy Joel's My Life, and I am Kevin Cry, and this is my show. Hello to all my listeners out there, and today's featured listener is Mike Ricker of New Mexico. I met Mike through a great Shasta County and District 1 resident, Ken Riley. And so, Mike, I know you're listening. Just want to say that you've been a huge encouragement and supporter, and I can't thank you enough for all the support, prayers, and positivity you bring to this world, and especially into my life. So thank you very much, Mr. Mike Ricker. So this week's weather report brought to you by Weather NorCal, as always, good friend of mine, Mike Kruger, the best there is, the best there was, and the best there ever will be in the North State for your weather. And also I want to make one other comment when we talk about the weather, is or not just the weather, but his actual channel. He is right now taking on new advertisers. So if you want your banner listed up there, make sure you reach out to him and get it up there, because those spots are filling up fast. So the weather report from Mike this week, it's starting to warm up a little with highs hovering in the mid-90s, not only today but lasting through the next week without much change. For now, it looks dry through the next weeks with hints of rain chances of next weekend, but nothing written in stone just yet. Get your latest forecast at weathernorcal.com or from the free mobile app on your iPhone or Android device. You can also watch the 24-hour streaming channel on Roku and Amazon Fire Stick. So thank you, Mike, and that is Weather NorCal. Our show today is going to be broken up into two parts. The first segment will all be about the Gateway Unified School District second seat up for grabs between my guest and student today, Camille King, as well as Casey Bowden, who is not able to make it in today. In the second half, I'm going to be giving some updates on many pressing items that we have here in Shasta County and across the state. So with that, welcome, Camille.
Hello. How's it going?
Doing great. It's Sunday. Your son came in. Of course, he's not in studio. He's out behind the glass looking in, so being well, very well behaved, it looks like, on his cell phone or a game, so that's good.
Yeah, he's got his Nintendo.
That's awesome. So, okay, first question, let's jump into it. So tell me a little bit about yourself, your family, how long you've lived in Shasta County, et cetera.
Okay. Well, I was born and raised in a logging town in Washington State, just north of Olympia, Washington, and loved my life, or my childhood and my life in Washington. And work brought me down here to Redding, California about a little more than 20 years ago. So I have been in – are you able to hear me?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. I have been in the Gateway District, actually resided in the Gateway District for almost as long as I've been here, so for at least 20 years. And I love this community. At first, it was a little hard to adjust to because, of course, you come from a wet and rainy area, and you move down here, and it's sunny all the time. But I have come to really love the area, and the people are great. And so, anyway, so I'm married and I have two kids. They're 10 and 12 years old. And
what grade is that? Is that sixth grade and fourth grade?
No, it's actually fifth grade and eighth grade for these two.
So
my daughter's a little bit ahead. She was a TK, but she went forward instead of doing kindergarten again.
Okay.
So she'll be 13 soon, and she's in eighth grade.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah. And the experience that I've had with them at their schools, I have actually had good experiences. I've loved their teachers. I have been a room mom, helping with, you know, reading assessments of children, helping them with their learning their math skills in the younger grades, and am currently a room mom still. I've been a Girl Scout leader for a Girl Scout troop for a few years. And then, of course, when COVID hit, the girls decided they said, we don't want to do Girl Scouts anymore. We just want to be friends. So that's when we stopped Girl Scouts. But
gotcha.
It's been a lot of fun.
Did Girl Scouts go to mostly a virtual gathering?
They did go to virtual gatherings.
That's tough.
And the girls, they said, Well, if Girl Scouts means we can't get together and play, then no more Girl Scouts.
Exactly. So before we get into the political side, how important do you feel it is where you send your child to school? I mean, like when I was growing up, and again, I might just be a little older than you, but or I'm a lot older than you. How about that?
I don't think you are. I think
no, it's okay. Yeah. But I, you know, you just kind of went to the neighborhood school, and you just parents just signed you up, and you just went, and you walked if you were close. You took the, you know, you rode your bike if you wanted to, but there was always a bus, and that was it. Was just very routine. There wasn't really like a lot of open enrollment or a lot of notoriety, I would say, brought to where you're sending your kid. I mean, maybe there were for some that could afford private school, a private school option. That definitely wasn't my family. Mm-hmm. But so how important is it to you to where you send your children to school?
Oh, it's very important. The upbringing, well, the what they learn at the school is so important, not just from their teachers, but also their peers, and the environment, the respect that they're getting, the teachers and the staff are getting at the school. It's very important just to set the entire environment for your children. And, of course, the education offered and what's being focused on, if it's education or if it's ideologies or whatever, that's extremely important as far as when you're considering what your kids are learning.
Gotcha. Do you for you being a room mom, what are the things that when you've gone actually to a school and volunteered as a room mom, what does that process look like?
Well, it involves checking in, of course, with the office and making sure that they know that I'm there and then going into the classroom. And then the teacher, just they'll have an assignment for me. And this in the younger grades, it's a little different. So my children are in fifth and eighth grade now. But in the younger grades, when I was doing room mom, it was a little different. They would, you know, they'd just have me take one kid back to the pod at a time and either assess their reading, have them read a few pages for me, or they would, you know, have me give me a tub with some items to help them with their math skills as far as doing, you know, grouping of little blocks. So, you know, if you're dealing with units, units of 1, 10, 100, and just kind of helping them with their math skills. It just, and then, you know, and then when they're done, you mark how they assessed, and then you send them back in, and then you get the next kid. Now that they're a little older, it's a little different. So right now for my son, it is, it's about mostly helping to plan the class parties.
Like field trips, stuff like that.
And helping out with field trips. And
that's great. How many, are there a lot of, I guess you'd say, like room moms or people helping out in classrooms do you see? Or is there a greater need for more volunteers?
Oh, the more parents that step up and help, the better it will be for everybody.
Yeah, and that's volunteer, correct?
Mm-hmm. It is volunteer. Yeah. Absolutely.
I know, you know, oftentimes schools, and I know Gateway does as well, they have paraprofessional or classified staff that are there to help, you know, whether you call them teacher's aides or interventionalists or et cetera. But, yeah, I think that's great. I think that's great that you volunteer and you do that. Okay, so let's jump in to the political side of this. So you're running for – is it District 2 or is it – No, Area 2?
Area 2.
Area 2. Okay, mm-hmm. So it's the Gateway Unified School District, Area 2, and the Gateway Unified School District encompasses how many schools?
So I don't have that number.
You have the high school, there's Shasta Lake, you have Buckeye, you have Grand Oaks, you have Mountain Lakes, so maybe I might be missing one or two, but so you have five or six schools, and that's out in the Shasta Lake area.
It is, and then there are also some charter schools that fall under the umbrella of Gateway.
Northwoods.
Like Rocky Point.
Is Northwoods? Anyway, I won't go down that trail. So, have you been to any? Oh, let me back up. When's the election in November?
It's November 7th.
November 7th. Mm-hmm. Okay, November 7th. And there's two of you running, correct?
There are two of us running.
As of right now. Mm-hmm. And have you been to any board meetings in the past year out of Gateway?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay. Yes.
And then the next one is this Wednesday.
This Wednesday. Mm-hmm. Okay. So what's on the agenda? Or do they have the agenda out yet?
Oh, no, they have the agenda out. And there's quite a bit of regular business on the agenda, such as approving the use of or replacing a bus because they just had a bus catch on fire a little bit ago. And
I remember reading that, but no children were hurt. Everybody was evacuated.
No, they handled it really well. And, you know, there's regular agenda. There's budget on there. And then there's also they're going over curriculum, and then they're also introducing a parental right policy.
Okay.
And
Now, before we get to that parental rights, because that is one of my questions.
And it's one of my hot topics.
Okay. So let me ask you, the board meetings, so if you've been going in the past year, How do you feel the I guess you'd say, I don't know if you call it the atmosphere, or how do you feel the air in the room, so to speak, is now that Kyle Turner is the been selected, hired as the new superintendent, the interim tag is removed. And I got to tell you, Steve Henson did a remarkable job in a very, very tough environment the past 2 years. So mm-hmm. I was very impressed with Steve coming in when the previous superintendent was sick, and then when the previous superintendent was let go, then he came back in again. And I know Steve's retiring soon, so congratulations, Steve. So how has the air in the room been now that Kyle is the permanent superintendent? How have you seen that change in the meetings?
Well, the last meeting was the first meeting where I saw him. And my first impression, just so you know, of Kyle was very good. He was extremely engaged. Every area that, you know, every issue that was talked about, he knew what was going on. And the morale in the room in general felt really high. And so, I mean, you could just feel it in the staff that was there. Just, it was a very positive, upbeat.
Yeah.
Atmosphere in the room.
That's great. I haven't been to a board meeting in quite some time in Gateway. I went a couple times after the new year, just because it was such a public thing. And my kids went to Gateway schools. My wife graduated from CV. My daughter graduated from CV. My kids were at Buckeye and Shasta Lake school for years until we moved. But love that school district. I'm super happy that you were able to witness something that I was really hoping for, and I believe that would be the case. Gateway has so many great leaders, so many great teachers, mm-hmm. so many great people, so many great families. There's a lot of history there. So I'm really excited to see the direction it's going. So you had mentioned parental rights as a hot topic. So I have a question here that I wrote out. So I'll read it. And actually, I had a little help on this question, but because I wanted to make sure I got it. Cause I follow this peripherally in terms of the parental rights. I'm aware of what Temecula or Chino Valley was engaged with, and how the Attorney General Bonta was pushing back. But so Chino Valley passed in June the parental notification policy, which was 5020.1. And then Anderson Union High School District recently passed it on August 22nd, and that schools have 3 days to notify if, one, children are expressing a desire to be treated as a different gender at school. Currently, the child decides if they want to include the parents or not. That's how it currently was. And then, two, any suspicion a child is experiencing suicidal thoughts, ideations, warning signs, etc. And three, any rumors you're witnessing of bullying either on or off campus. So are they bringing that resolution forward at Gateway?
Yes, this Wednesday.
This Wednesday.
Yes.
Okay.
So, and I'm hoping that we have a lot of parent turnout.
Okay.
Or community involvement as well.
So what does that look like if a parent says, I support complete parental engagement? So they would say they would be for the board voting yes on this. Is
mm-hmm.
that correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, so if a board member votes no mm-hmm. on this, what is that board member saying in your words?
In my opinion, if a board member says no on this, they are, to me it feels like it's a compliance with just letting the state do what the state wants to do. And so right now there's a lot of bills that are that the state's working on that are coming down to put a division between parents and children. And so a board member that says, no, we don't stand for parental rights, is saying, they're basically saying that we're okay with whatever, you know, the state chooses to do. And so right now, and also in my opinion, if we don't support parental rights, that does not help the teachers. That does not help the schools. So if we put a divide between us and our kids, it is going to, it's not going to help the behavior of our kids. It is going to, if anything, those will be the kids that will be more unruly in school. And it's not just about that. It's also about their health, their well-being. I mean, it's first about their well-being. But, I mean, that's just a side effect, is how they'll behave in class is going to be worse. It's not going to help anybody. But we just really need to protect the parental role in the child's lives. And to me, if the board member says no, it's almost just turning their back on our society as a whole, because the children that are being learned, they're learning today, they are, you know, they're the future tomorrow. And
so what is that? So let me ask you, so let me play devil's advocate. If a person says, well, the state says we have to do it, so we're just going to go along with that state initiative, or that, I don't want to call it a mandate, but that education code, What's the response to that?
Well, in the resolution at the bottom, it says that we will stand for parental rights unless there is a specific law that prohibits the parental involvement. So that really has no standing ground, because if it's not a law, it's not a law.
No, that's perfect. So, no, thank you. I thank you for clarifying that. I haven't seen that yet. I know that there is there's a group of people out there, and I think they're a minority, and mm-hmm. I think they're very loud, but I don't think that they're majority at all. That really almost, I feel, and this is my feeling, that they think it's okay that the kids are almost like wards of the state, and then when you cross that threshold of the school grounds, that you're no longer in charge of that kid. And that's hard for me, because I really feel like that starts moving into communism, where you're saying, hey, look, it doesn't matter if you're a bad parent or not. They're still your kids. They're still your kids. Now, granted, kids can't choose their parents, but it's a very slippery slope when we start to say people can have their rights removed from them. Now, of course, there's physical, mental abuse, things like that. That's absolute. Yeah, you lose your kids. Mm-hmm. And that totally makes sense. But
right.
We don't, as a society, get to dictate what we want our kids taught in terms of things that should be taught and brought up at home. And, you know, before I forget, we are going to take a couple calls if anybody has a question for Camille on any of these topics. You can call in at 530-605-4567. Again, that number is 530-605-4567. We're not going to take a break until the 30-minute mark. So when you, what do you think the board's going to do? Obviously you probably hope it's a 4-0 vote that they support the resolution. What does your gut say? Or do you not want to say?
Well, I'll say it. My gut says it's going to be a 2-2 split. And, but I would hope that they would do a 4-0 vote. And if we have, the meeting is set up at 5:00, it starts. And then public comment happens, and then they go into a closed session, and then come back and go over the board agenda. So I think if there's enough people that are coming in and speaking about this parental rights bill, that it might help them when they go to make the decision later. Maybe it won't be a 2-2. But if we don't have, if we don't have people that are explaining them, this is fine. It does not break any laws. It says right here, unless prohibited by law. So it's basically just making an affirmation that we will support parental rights. So they need. There are a couple that I believe need to have that pointed out to.
Yeah.
And I think that it could go differently. But if people aren't doing public comment ahead of time, I have a feeling it will be a 2-2 split vote.
Well, I think the most important thing is for people to be involved. If mm-hmm. this is a topic, even if your kids don't go mm-hmm. to the Gateway School District, again, kids can't choose their parents.
Mm-mm.
So this is where I think it's one of the most noble things you can do is take up a cause, especially for a kid or
Absolutely.
A child who doesn't have a voice. So I would say if you're passionate about this topic, get to the Gateway meeting this Wednesday. This Wednesday at 5:00. And then mm-hmm. we have a caller. So we'll take one. Terry, are you there?
Yeah, good morning, you two. Camille, congratulations on running, and it's encouraging to have people standing up like you. Very encouraging.
Thank you, Terry.
Section 1, Article 2 of the California Constitution, all political power are inherent in the people. Government is instituted for their protection, security, and benefit, and they have the right to alter or reform when the public good may require. To even talk about that we have to have parental rights, I mean, does either one of you 10, 15 years ago think that we'd have to have something in our school saying that the parents have the rights to instruct their own children?
I didn't think so 5 years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is that, there's a couple of things wrong with this whole thing. One is, and I'll leave it with this, what's wrong with these three sentences? One, government-controlled schools. Two, state and government-controlled curriculum. Three, government and state funded schools. It really has to go back to the parents, and I'm going to certainly try to make that meeting up there and support you. We're encouraged by having people stand up that don't necessarily want to do it, but they're doing it because of the fact they know they need to. So again, Camille, thank you, but those three sentences I think are very important, and I think that's where the issue is, sort of the elephant in the room.
Thank you.
Thank you, Terry.
We can bring up the Constitution about curriculum as well. So, and I'm sure you know this, Terry, Article 9, Section 1 says that the curriculum is to be intellectual, scientific, moral, and agricultural improvement-based. And so we need to remember that moral piece as well in education. So
yeah, okay,
with the curriculum that's coming out.
I think Terry dropped off, but, yeah, he's right on. And that's true. When you think about 10, 15 years ago, would we be talking about this? It does blow me away. But what blows me away the most is that this is even something that so many people want to argue about, that parental rights are even a thing that we're arguing about. That, like, how? Like, how do you think we got here? What do you think?
Apathy. So many of us just trusted that things were happening the way they should. We trusted the systems. And a lot of us had a pretty rude wake-up call a few years ago, and it's great. I love seeing the changes. I love seeing people getting involved. I love that I'm involved. And but it really was just assuming that everything was going how it should, and apathy. We just all wanted to do our own thing and take care of ourselves and enjoy our lives, and then one day we realized we couldn't just do that.
Yeah, so are you having any fundraisers, any town halls? Are you doing any door knocking? What's on tap the next? Because obviously mail-in ballots, those will go out October 7th, so you're looking at what, maybe 3 to 4 weeks from now, ballots will start dropping. So what's the plan?
So my plan is... Well, I was doing door knocking, and then I broke my knee a couple weeks ago. So
playing laser tag.
Playing laser tag.
With the kids.
Which was fun.
Okay.
It was a good time, and this is funny. First, when I broke my knee, I was saying, I'm never playing laser tag again, but now I'm ready to go again. I'm excited.
Okay.
But, I mean, of course, I have to wait till I heal. But anyway, the door knocking's looking a little different now. But I was doing that, and so I am going to be, there's a debate there, the Shasta County Republicans Association wants to host on the 28th.
The GOP is going to hold the Central Committee?
No, the Shasta County Republicans Association. So not the GOP. It's another committee.
California Assembly?
Yes, the Assembly.
Okay,
thank
got
you.
It. Okay.
Sorry, I said Association, but
nope.
Assembly.
No problem.
Anyway, they're hosting a debate, and I don't think they've had a Casey's agreement yet. But if he does not attend, then it will just be available for a question and answer in town hall for me.
Yeah, so. I would encourage people. And again, I did speak with Casey this week. We were going to grab coffee on Friday. It didn't wind up working out. He had something come up, which is totally fine. But I would encourage, if any supporters of Camille or Casey's are listening, which I'm sure there are many on both sides, encourage both candidates to get there, because I think that's what the community really, really needs. And this is a very pivotal seat. This is a very split board currently, and I've known Dale and Phil, two of the board members, for really long time. I mean, I think Dale Wallace. I think he. I'm pretty sure one of his kids grew up with my wife. So I've known them both for years, and I've known Lindsay and Elias for a couple years. And I think at the core of it, all four want the same thing, in the sense that they want Gateway and the students and the families in that community to flourish. They want test scores to go through the roof. They want their teams to be just filled with kids having a great time, great experiences, get them life ready. I'm not going to say college ready, because I don't think college is for everybody at all. But whether that's a trade school, the military, or education beyond high school, just to prepare them for life. And I believe all four want that. So I really think whoever wins this last seat, Area 2, it's going to be a very pivotal thing. How do you see – let me ask you this last question. How do you see yourself working with the other four individuals? Because I'm sure there's things that you want to do that maybe they haven't been brought up yet. So how do you see you coming into an environment like that? And how will you approach things? And is there, what thoughts do you have as being that fifth voice of five, knowing that the board is pretty split right now?
Right. So as far as working with the board, I'm actually pretty excited about it. So I don't know Phil. I've known Dale for a long time, over 15 years, and I have known Lindsay and Eli for a couple years. So similar to you, except I don't know Phil. And I do know Dale. I remember when he was first running, or not first running because he was on the board longer than I knew him. But when I first knew of him running, his heart is in it for, like you said, for the improvement of the community and making sure what's best for the kids. And I know Dale, or Lindsay and Eli feel the same way. And when I listen to Phil, I assume he feels the same way, but they're just not seeing eye to eye. There's some conflict on the board. The way that I approach situations is I like to take into account the information from multiple sides of an issue or multiple sides of an argument and still make the best decision that I feel inside me I need to make. And so I'm not going to vote in line with one person all the time unless they truly believe what I believe. And so as far as it goes, I just know that I can be objective and, you know, and not come in with a bias against or for any one of the members that are on the board already and just work towards a working relationship.
Yeah. No, that's great. And I think that, that's what's needed. But that's not needed just in Gateway. That's needed everywhere.
Yes.
And just know, as you're probably very aware already, that politics are ugly. Mm-hmm. And there are people that are just not going to like you no matter how much you try and kill them with kindness. They're never going to give you a chance.
Mm-hmm.
But just keep your chin up and just keep moving forward. And I will be very interested to see. And please tell everybody again one more time when that debate is supposed to be. It's the 28th?
September 28th.
September 28th.
And
do you have a location for that?
The last I heard, the location is to be decided.
Okay.
And
do you have a website where people can go?
I do have a website.
What's that?
It's CamilleKing4Gateway.com. And you can use the number 4 or spell out 4. I've purchased both domains. So.
Oh, very smart. Yeah. Camille King. And spell Camille real quick.
CamilleKing 4, either F-O-R or the number 4, and then gateway.com.
That's awesome. So Camille's got 2 L's. Perfect. Well,
yes, and I will be updating my site periodically, so I've got a blog portion on there that I will be adding to, and then, yeah, you'll just find some changes on there.
Do you have a link on there if people want to donate?
I do not.
Or get signs? Okay, so phone number's on there, email address?
There is an email address on there.
Okay, so I would encourage everybody, if you like what Camille is saying and you're supportive of the things that she wants to get done and that she's spoken about here, I would say give her $5, $20, $100. Signs and radio ads and mailers are not cheap. So you can make your first vote with your pocketbook, because I know that firsthand as a person in office myself, that it is not cheap to run. So, again, Camille, thank you so much for coming
welcome.
In. I really appreciate it. And with that, we'll take our first break, and we'll be right back.
Kevin, thank you for having me.
You bet.
KCNR Shasta is also broadcasting at K243CT Reading.
And now, the Real Estate Minute, brought to you by Vista Real Estate.
When it comes to buying and selling real estate, one size does not fit all. Higher-priced homes sell differently than medium-priced homes. Make sure your realtor knows the difference and has the right tools to get your home sold for the highest price. Hi, I'm Chad Phillips with Vista Real Estate. When you're ready to sell, make sure you ask your realtor how they plan to sell your home and what they'll do differently to make your listing stand out. Ask your realtor what kind of experience they have in marketing and sales outside the real estate industry. Be sure to choose a realtor with solid marketing and sales training who also understands tech and internet advertising. Interview at least 3 realtors and make sure to call the number 1 high-end home selling agent for the past 13 years, me.
The Real Estate Minute is brought to you by Vista Real Estate. Call 530-247-0700 or visit VistaReading.com today.
Hello there, this is Kevin Cry. Starting March 12th, every other Sunday, I will be on KCNR, your talk radio, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. I will be discussing the issues that matter to you most. You'll be able to call in directly, ask questions, and have a dialogue, open and free, every other Sunday, right here on KCNR, your talk radio.
Pull up all your gun and see the American flag. American flag.
We are back. This is Kevin Cry. This is my show. Again, thank you to Camille for coming on that first segment. I'm going to jump in now to giving everybody an update on AB 969. This has been something that we've talked about, well, for the last few months. And it did finally pass officially. It passed its final version on Friday, September 8th in the Assembly with 62 votes for the bill and 14 against, and then 14 Assembly members not voting. And if you remember, this is basically a de facto ban across all counties on the hand counting of ballots to stop one county, and that would be Shasta, our county, locally here. I think this is the ultimate example of the state usurping local control. So they're stopping Shasta from implementing an election system which integrates both the California Secretary of State certified technology for handicapped accessible casting of ballots and a manual vote count of all ballots. This decision was previously given to county supervisors in election codes 19207, and I quote, "The governing board may adopt for use at elections any kind of voting system, any combination of voting systems, or any combination of a voting system and paper ballots, provided that the voting system or systems involved have been certified or conditionally approved by the Secretary of State or specifically authorized by law pursuant to Section 19209, end quote. So the procedures for hand counting have long existed in California Elections Code under Sections 15270 through 15281. Elections officials have implemented these procedures successfully in the 1% manual tally conducted with each and every election. And what's really tough on for me on this is where the living in just the super minority of us conservatives here in California, the votes fell along party lines with Democrats voting for the bill and Republicans against, with the exception of Republican Assemblywoman Diane Dixon of Orange County voting for the bill. Of the four Assembly members who did not vote, one was a Democrat and three were Republicans. And, you know, if you want to see some of the video excerpts from some of this, just reach out to me privately and I can send you links. The Assemblyman Bill, and I don't probably going to butcher his name, but Bill Essaley, he spoke in opposition. He voiced concern for the county supervisor's right to choose which method of tallying votes is best based on the voices of their constituents. That's exactly what we did in Shasta County. And what's awesome for me is the amount of assemblymen or representatives from, or assembly people, I should say, or representatives from various Senate offices that reached out and wanted to pick some of the supervisors' brains on the board of Shasta County or on the board of supervisors, because they see this for what it is. This is the state of California and the government usurping local control and taking away from us. And to see these different people from different districts across the state saying this is not okay and we're going to fight it. And I was really thankful. It was awesome to see. But so when he gets up and speaks about his concern or opposition, Assemblywoman Gail Pellerin, who was the author of the bill, who was a former clerk, I believe, she countered with the claims that the voting systems are accessible, auditable, transparent and accurate. I mean, I think that's what everybody wants. I think everybody wants a voting system that is accessible, that you can audit it, that is transparent and accurate. I don't see how anybody thinks that the electronic tabulation of votes is transparent if you can't see code and if you can't see inside. I mean, that's all they'd have to do. If they just would say, crack open the, and they say it's proprietary, but let's be real. You've got, you know, how many systems? Four systems, maybe five with LA's approved system. You're not talking about, these aren't rocket or missile silos that we're showing the guidance system code to. These are voting machines. So all this could be just totally negated if the companies would just say, yeah, here's our source code. Here it is. But anyway, that's fine. There's no way to audit that, and that's been my thing in seeing what's going on here with how they're attacking our local control. So the final text of the bill does the following. It prohibits an elections official from conducting a manual vote count without a plan approved by the Secretary of State, requires the Secretary of State to prepare a template of a manual count plan that an elections official may use to assist in meeting this requirement. It restricts any manual tally to near impossibility, basically by prohibiting an elections official from conducting a manual vote count in an election if there are more than 1,000 registered voters who are eligible to participate in that election as of 154 days in advance of an election held on an established date, and prohibiting an elections official from conducting a manual vote count in an election if there are more than 5,000 registered voters who are eligible to participate in that election of 154 days, et cetera, et cetera. So, I mean, let's be real. How many counties have less than 5,000 registered voters? Zero. I mean, it doesn't, they put language in there that maybe a person would read that and say, okay, well, there's some counties. No, there's no counties. They're taking it all away. And they started by taking it away from Shasta County. It does allow for an elections official to conduct a manual vote count in the event of a natural disaster or other emergency in which use of a certified voting system is not feasible. It requires counties to use voting systems to allow for ADA compliant casting of votes, and requires counties to use voting systems to tabulate votes. So it's saying you have to use a machine. That's the language right there. And it prohibits counties from terminating a contract without a voting system, without a replacement contract in place. And again, we had a system. When people say we had no plan, we just canceled the Dominion contract. No, we had a plan. We told our very competent clerk, Kathy Darling, that you could manual count votes because you've done it in the past for years. And they're going to prove it this November that they're able to do that. Now, I get it. There's a greater scale in a presidential election. But Chair Jones recently had an individual fly out and did a whole presentation, and we had elected officials from Anderson, Shasta Lake, City of Reading, all there, and the feedback that I got, and I'm not saying all of them were there, but some of them were there, and the feedback I got from the ones I talked to, they said that actually was super impressive. It was impressive to see how they did it. They even had, like, I think it was like a 10 or, I wasn't there, but they had a 10 or 11-year-old actually at one of the counting stations just to show, not just that anybody can do it, because there's some pretty smart 10 and 11-year-olds out there, but really just to show the system that this is something that is very teachable, trainable. And some of the questions were, you know, does this meet the compliant statutes? And but they said the clerk wasn't anywhere around to answer those questions. If they were the way they were doing it, is this a way they could do it in our elections here locally? So that was, I think, a missed opportunity that we didn't have the clerk there to actually refute some of the stuff. Because honestly, if they were doing it and it's not compliant for the way the state of California needs to do it, then it would have been great. It would have been great to see almost a, I don't want to say a debate, but a conversation to say, hey, this you can't do it this way. This is why. But from what I've read and from what I've been told, the way they did it would be compliant with the state of California. So, and that's why I think, again, going back to the gateway conversation of Camille and her opponent Casey, I think they need to be in the same room and people need to ask them questions. It's the only way we get things done, is where people can compare the two individuals or those two things that we're talking about side by side. Compare them, and then people can make their own decision. Okay, so going back. The AB 969 was also passed with an urgency statute, which means the legislature deemed it necessary for the immediate preservation of the public peace, health, or safety, and will therefore go into effect immediately once signed by the governor. The author's statement of fact claimed that the urgency clause was necessary in order to ensure, and this is in quotes, in order to ensure that county elections officials know what voting system they will be using, particularly with the 2024 March presidential primary. It is necessary for this to act. For this act to take effect immediately. A bill, and so, unquote, a bill passed as an urgency statute cannot be repealed by referendum vote. So what you see here is there are no less than 7 or 8 counties that have reached out to me personally. When I say counties, I'm talking about individuals on the Board of Supervisors who have said, hey, look, we're really, really interested in going to a manual hand count of votes. Tell us how you did it. Tell us why you did it. Tell me. You know, and so I did this for a really, really long time. But really, what this boils down to at the end is local control. Do you believe in the five people across the various counties that you elect speak for the people? Because if they do, then this becomes not an issue of voting. This becomes more than an issue of gun rights, open carry versus CCW. This comes down to green energy programs that are obviously failed in a rural community, but they think it could work in L.A., but there's no way it's going to work in Fall River or Bernie. It's Fountain Wind with the wind turbines and wind energy. I mean, this goes on and on. This isn't just about elections. AB 969 is about the government saying, we are going to take control away from you because they think they're the adults in the room and they're just going to do what they think is best for us. Can't do that. So with this urgency statute, well, let me go back. I'm sorry, but I got to make this point again that we were on a road to be able to hand count, and I'm not saying that this is over by any means, but to hand count the presidential primary in March. And the thing about that is if we proved it can be done, and it can be done efficiently, it can be done accurately, it can be done financially just as good or better than the machine tabulation, then what does that say to the rest of the country? It says, this can be done, and we just showed you we could do it. And that's what I think freaks people out. It freaks people out that, I mean, why, and again, when people want to say, well, you're messing with our right to vote, this has nothing to do with your right to vote. This has to do with the way we're going to count the votes. And again, we just want transparency. I think everybody wants transparency and wants to know that their vote counted. So going back, neither the federal Help America Vote Act, also known as HAVA, nor the ADA require that states or counties purchase computerized voting systems to cast and tally votes. So again, remember, if you remember way back when we started talking about going down this road, one of my big questions to my fellow board members was about HAVA, Help America Vote Act, and the ADA requirements. Because, again, my mother-in-law, Tammy, she runs We Care a Lot. It's one of the finest nonprofits in Shasta County. She helps adults with developmental disabilities advocate for themselves. She's not their advocate. She teaches them how to advocate for themselves. Phenomenal organization. And so this was very near and dear to me on a lot of levels about making sure everybody could vote confidently, confidentially, and where their vote would be cast, where only they would know. And it met all those requirements, and you don't have to tally those by a machine. There's nothing in there, but people tried to slip that in there that you had to have machines for the disabled, and none of that is true. None of that is true. The HAVA specifies that voting system manufacturers must meet certain accessibility requirements when designing their systems. It does not mandate that states or counties purchase these systems. So I'm going to sum this up as like this. I mean, basically, I'm not a lawyer. I don't think that needs to be I've never said I was, but when you look at something and you realize that it totally violates either our federal or our state, the state of California Constitution, you have to start looking at that and saying, okay, wait a minute, like, I'm not a lawyer, but somebody needs to take a look at this, because as I've read it, this is unconstitutional. The urgency statute, as defined in Article 9, Section 8D of the California Constitution, it may not create or abolish any office or change the salary, term, or duties of any office or grant any franchise or special privilege or create any vested right or interest. An urgency statute cannot change the duties of any office, but this bill has added both duties to the Secretary of State and the elections officials. The Secretary of State now has a duty to adopt regulations on manual tallies, draft a manual tally plan template, and approve manual tally plans prepared by election officials. I mean, this is unconstitutional to a T. And AB 969 has created a guaranteed market in California for the handful of corporations manufacturing voting systems. So, that's the definition of a special privilege, expressly prohibited in the California Constitution. I mean, if somebody is an attorney and feels completely different than what I'm finding, please tell me. Like, this to me is, I just want answers. And again, that's what I've found in my entire time in office. And Christina, I was going to take a break, but I'm not going to take a break. I'm just going to keep rolling, I think. And you know why? Because it's my show and I can do what I want because I don't have any advertisers. And, we have Vista Real Estate and we have Mike Kruger, but these are just friends and I'm just plugging their business because they're great men and they got great businesses. So that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to keep going. And the thing for me is we have to understand that if we don't start banding together, and again, I'm not, you know, down here on Market Street in military fatigues with a red, white, and blue bandana on my head and, you know, a sword in one hand and, you know, a weapon of some sort slung across my back ready to, like, storm the Capitol or something. I mean, I'm just a dad sitting here in flip-flops deciding where I'm going to go to lunch after church today. But like many of you, you're listening to this because you actually care about politics. And you care about local politics. And this Thursday, I'm sitting down with between – originally it was going to be 100 because I was told the room could only hold 100. And then I was told it could hold 125. And then I heard, well, with standing room only, you could pack in up to 150. But that's the fire code. So on this Thursday, I'm holding a very private business owners forum, and I've invited various businesses. If you haven't gotten an invitation from me, please reach out to me, and I can get you an invitation. You can see it's on my website, on my Vote Kevin Cry website. You can register. But there's some people that have registered that they're not in Shasta County, or they don't own a business, or they're just local disruptors that think they're going to come and attend the private event. Because what this event is for is this is for all the business owners in Shasta County, and we're going to talk about vandalism, crime, theft, smash and grabs. A good friend of mine, Todd, it doesn't matter. It's my show. Todd Franklin, owner of the food truck park, good friend of mine for over 20, 25 years, had a knife pulled on him recently. It's right outside of a convenience store. A little smash and grab happens. Todd's there and says, hey, this isn't great. And the guy pulls a knife on him. So this is about rallying a bunch of businesses. And we're going to talk about some collective messaging we could put forward. And what are some things we can do as a community to help businesses flourish again and get crime and get possibly and hopefully some different ideas together about how we're going to get this third floor of the jail opened. I've talked to Chief Paletti and then Chief Schuler and Chief Paletsky. I do that all the time. I always say Chief Paletti because I'm just combining Schuler and Paletsky. But I've spoke to both of them. They may or may not be there. I know elected officials from City of Shasta Lake, City of Anderson, and City of Redding will all be there as well. And we're just going to have a roundtable. And it's not a town hall. Again, it's a private event. But what's important is we collectively say, hey, look, we provide jobs to, last count I had, we're talking about over, 750 to 800 people, in terms of employees, with just, I won't say a fraction, but of like maybe 40 or 50 businesses, there was about 800 employees represented by these people. I mean, that's a lot of tax base. That's a lot of revenue. That's a lot of people's kids going to schools that they're speaking for. And looks like we have a caller, so I'm gonna take a caller just because I can. So, Mary, are you there?
Just because you can. I love it. Kevin, hi. Hey, I wanted to call in. I totally do not support the recall effort, and I feel that it's completely fake, taking up all the board meetings' time. Because aren't we there to talk about the needs of our roads and our issues in the county, permitting, stuff like that? And all it seems to do when I watch these board meetings is talk about the hate, that they hate you, they hate Patrick, they hate the hand counting, blah, blah, blah. I don't know what it's become, Kevin, but that is scary now with the hand counting. We're right over the target, an emergency hand count. You got to ask yourself, what's up with that? We're done.
If
we cannot hand count, we cannot ever win an election again.
Yeah,
the way I see it.
No, I appreciate you calling in, and I appreciate the support. One thing I'll say, I've said it so many times, but this isn't AB 969. And I mean, when I made my vote to terminate the Dominion contract, I always knew I could rescind it because I knew it would take some time for our county council and to go down that road. But what I saw coming from a group of people, not just locally, but nationally, and how they freaked out. It was like, wow, I just want to be able to say, you know, this is my ball, and we're going to play my game. And if I want to go, I can take my ball. And it was just kind of this situation where I just realized it's like, wow, this has a lot bigger implications than I thought, because I just want Shasta County and the elected officials in Shasta County to be able to speak for the 180,000 residents of the county. And when we start, and then as I've sat on the board now for 9 months, and I see how the state constantly tries to put their thumb on top of local elected leaders, it just baffles me that, but you know what? I fault myself for being asleep for a lot of years. Now I'm aware of what's going on. I'm 47, just turned 47 last week. And I realize that, you know, it's going to take not just me, and that's why I'm getting all these businesses together. We have to get, or I have to get, I'm not going to say it's the Kevin Christ show in terms of just publicly, but I'm saying my goal is to get more people to run for office, more people to be engaged, more people to, you know, take a look at what's going on. Because what we see here is we see a group of people, and I guess we'll segue a little bit to the recall update, but we see a group of people here that their candidate did not win at the ballot box in November. You know, and I worked my tail off. My team canvassed, we fundraised, and even though we fundraised a lot longer, we raised way less than my opponent, and we won in November, and then immediately there's this onslaught. And I tried, I reached out, I had different people work security at my first town hall, I agreed to meet with different groups of people for 30 minutes a week, even though it was really just initially, the first couple were just opportunities for them just to complain at me and gaslight me about why my ideals and beliefs are wrong. But that was fine. I did that because I said I was a uniter, and I am a uniter. But what I realized, there are people that do not ever want to play nice. They don't care. It's a win at all costs. And we're going to spike the football here in 3 weeks. They're going to turn their signatures in on Wednesday, the 13th. They're going to come up short. And then all this money, all this time has been wasted, because who's lost out are the people of Shasta County, that there's been a lot of things I've wanted to do, like this meeting I'm having Thursday. I've had to pause a lot of that stuff because I don't want it to be sensationalized, and I don't want it to be used as a political football, because I care about getting that third floor of the jail open. I care about making Shasta County safer, more affordable, and the best place to live. So I'm not sure if you're still there, Mary, but
I'm here.
Oh, you're still
one thing
there.
About the businesses, Kevin. I think a big thing, I had a business here in town for 40 years. And the biggest thing now, I think, for the businesses is crime, shoplifting. You know, California just legalized shoplifting up to almost a grand. So in every business now in California, you have one employee. It doesn't matter how many employees you have to have a plan in place in writing that specifies how you're going to deal with that. And you need to teach everybody, including yourself as a business owner, when somebody comes in and wants to rob you blind, that you can just sit back and say, here, have at it. There you go.
Yeah.
And bring all your friends, because everybody can just steal me blind.
Yeah, well, that's where – well, hey, Mary, thank you so much, because I think we're going to take another caller here possibly. So – thank you, though.
Thank you, Kevin. Good luck.
I appreciate you. Thank you.
On your recall. I hope it does not happen.
Thank you very much. There, one thing I know with business owners, and that's what I'm pretty excited about with this meeting on Thursday, is I've asked everybody to bring their receipts for if they've had to put up a wrought iron fence around their business, or if they've had to put security cameras in. Some people, like Jason Miller, who was on my show a couple weeks ago, and that's where this I won't say the catalyst, because this was something I always intend to do. Actually, I intend to do this in the spring, but because of the crazy recall folks, I just paused it because I didn't want the focus to be on the recall. I wanted the focus to be on the businesses and making it better for the people that are providing so many jobs. So we're doing it now. But when Jason and Sue Seychelles' businesses were vandalized, it was like, okay, I'm going to set this, and it's going to be the day after those signatures are turned in. So the businesses need to know that they're, I mean, again, I can't speak for all supervisors, But I'd have to believe all five supervisors want businesses to flourish, want them to be safer. So it's public pressure time, and we're going to get some answers, and we're going to total up all their receipts, and we're going to look and see how much these businesses have spent in the last 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, et cetera. And if a business is spending money on security cameras or wrought iron fences or having to pay a company to power wash to take graffiti off, that's money that's not going back into their business or back into their employees, and that means that money's not going back into the economy in the way that which it would grow. Yeah, the money's going back to maybe, you know, a fence company, but realistically, if that money could go back into that business to promote their business or advertise it to get more customers. Again, that's when more revenue is generated. More revenue means a higher tax base. Higher tax base means more money for public safety and everything else that we want to do here in Shasta County, including our roads, which is and I'll have an update on a couple different road projects that I've been continuing checking on, specifically to District 1 here at my next show in a couple weeks. So with that, we don't have